All right, if you guys can open up to 2 Samuel chapter 18. 2 Samuel chapter 18. It's kind of, you know, it's a miracle. Brother Dave taught on the resurrection and the power of the resurrection. And, you know, he's saying he lives. The kids' choir sang about the resurrection. And then we sang a song that, in its own way, it was almost just as much of a miracle, was that in loving kindness, Jesus came my soul in mercy to reclaim. And the Bible says he lifted me. And I don't know, it just kind of struck me at that point where, yeah, we come here and we sing about the resurrection, and that's great. And yet, we had a resurrection of our own because of his resurrection. It's just, I don't know, it's a blessing. But I do apologize, this is not a resurrection message. I did pray about it, and the Lord just didn't really seem to lead that way. So we're going to pick up here in 1 Samuel chapter 18, and we're going to pick up in the middle of a story here, and then I'll kind of give the background of it. But it says this, it says in verse 19, this is in the midst of the battle between David and Absalom, when Absalom revolts and has a conspiracy against the king. And it says this in verse 19, "Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, let me now run and bear the king tidings, how that the Lord hath avenged him of his enemies. And Joab said unto him, Thou shalt not bear tidings this day, but thou shalt bear tidings another day. But this day thou shalt not bear no tidings, because the king's son is dead. Then said Joab to Cushai, Go and tell the king what thou hast seen. And Cushai bowed himself unto Joab and ran. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, yet again to Joab, But howsoever, let me, I pray thee, also run after Cushai. And Joab said, Wherefore wilt thou run, my son, seeing thou hast no tidings ready? But howsoever, said he, let me run. And he said unto him, Run. Then Ahimaaz ran by the way of the plain and overran Cushai, and David sat between the two gates, and the watchman went up to the roof over the gate under the wall and lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man running alone. And the watchman cried and told the king, and said, and the king said, if he be alone, there is tidings in his mouth. And he came apace and drew near. And the watchman saw another man running. And the watchman called unto the porter and said, Behold, another man running alone. And the king said, He also bringeth tidings. And the watchman said, Me thinketh the running of the foremost is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok. And the king said, He is a good man, and cometh with good tidings. And Ahimaaz called and said unto the king, All is well. And he fell down to the earth upon his face before the king and said, Blessed be the Lord thy God, which hath delivered up the men that lifted up their hand against my lord the king. And the king said, Is the young man Absalom safe? And Ahimaaz answered, When Joab sent the king's servant and me thy servant, I saw a great tumult, but I knew not what it was. And the king said unto him, Turn aside and stand here. And he turned aside and stood still. And behold, Cushai came, and Cushai said, Tidings, my lord the king, for the Lord hath avenged thee this day of all them that rose up against thee. And the king said unto Cushai, Is the young man Absalom safe? And Cushai answered, The enemies of my lord the king, and all that rise up against thee to do thee hurt, be as that young man is. And the king was much moved, and went up to the chamber over the gate, and wept. And as he went, he said, O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son, let's pray. Father, we just come here this morning, and Lord, we truly do rejoice in your resurrection. And Lord, I know that this is just a Easter. Lord, is just it's a pagan holiday that's observed by the world. But Father, we have the true resurrection of the Savior inside of us. And Lord, we do thank you for that. And Lord, shame on us if we ever take that lightly. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd bless now this message. It's not to try to take away from the spirit of that's in this building here and now. And I pray that what is said will be used by you, Father, And as always, Lord, we hope and pray that everything that is done and said here, Lord, will give you honor and glory, Lord. And we want to give you that, Lord. We don't want to take anything from you. And Lord, if you choose to use vessels of clay, Father, so be it. We still don't want to get in the way of that. And Lord, we just pray that you'd bless this. I pray that you'd wash me in your blood and that you'd just be involved here today. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this story takes place of you guys. I don't know how many of you guys are quite aware of what all is going on, but many of you are very aware. And of course, this story really takes place probably in one of the darkest times of David's reign. You have his son that revolts against him, and of course, that story is a whole thing in of itself and all the background of that, but you have Absalom, and he decides that he wants to take over the kingdom, and so that's what he endeavors to do. And there's kind of a lot that leads up to it, but in 18, you have this battle that is about to go down before David and Absalom, and of course, they personally don't fight, but David, of course, is waiting and in the gates, and he's waiting to hear a word of what happened in this battle. And it says in verse 1 of chapter 18, and David numbered the people that were with him and set captains of thousands and captains of hundreds over them. And so David sends his men forth, and they're in a battle, and it was in Mount Ephraim, but the Bible says that it was in the wood of Ephraim. And you have this whole thing playing out, and of course, Absalom, it's very interesting the way that Absalom dies. And actually, as Matthew Henry said something, and it was just a very, very interesting way that he said it. But of course, you guys know that Absalom was riding on his donkey, and his hair and his head got caught in an oak tree. And the Bible says that he was hung between heaven and earth. And he said it was as if earth didn't want him, but heaven wouldn't accept him. So he just hung there. And the man was there, and of course, a servant sees him, and so he goes and he tells Joab, and so therefore Joab goes with darts and he kills Absalom. And then you have this servant, this messenger that David has, and he goes and he tries to bring the tidings of the battle to David. And all through this, we're reading, and it's just kind of interesting the way the Lord does it, but he just gives small details in there, right? And, you know, of course, David doesn't see these things necessarily, so we kind of get a bird's eye view of everything, and we really are able to, I guess, see the big picture of all the details of what's going on. And, of course, we can take our time, right? We can sit there, and we can read, and we can kind of dissect it and see what the Lord has going on. And in this, we see a young man who's trying to do his work. And he's doing what is allowed of him, and he is doing what he is supposed to be doing. And it says in verse 19 of chapter 18, it says, then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, let me now run and bear the king tidings how that the Lord hath avenged him of his enemies. And so we see some things about Ahimaaz here, and he says, let me run and bear. And this man he's eager to do his work. He's eager to tell the king what is going on. And there's a few details that I'd like to just kind of hit with Ahimaaz real quick. And Ahimaaz is actually, he's kind of a lot like a Christian in a way. Because if you look at verse 27, look what it says. The watchman said, methinketh the running of Ahimaaz is foremost. And the watchman said, methinketh the running of the foremost is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok. Now, one of the interesting things about Ahimaaz was this man was actually born into a family of service for the king. He was actually born into a family, and that was expected of him, and that's actually quite a lot like a Christian. Because when a Christian becomes born again, you know what he is born into? A family of service. What? For the king. That's the when you are born again, that is what is expected of you, to serve the king. Now, if you will, go to chapter 15. Look what it says in chapter 15, verse 13. chapter 15 of 2 Samuel, verse 13, it says this, "And there came a messenger to David saying, the hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom. And David said unto all his servants that were with him at Jerusalem, arise and flee, for we shall not else escape from Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly and bring evil upon us and smite the city with the edge of the sword." You know what Ahimaaz was? Ahimaaz was a messenger to a king in exile. And don't look now, but your king is in exile. Your king isn't here right now. The world hates Jesus Christ. The world is the enemy of Jesus Christ. And yeah, you know, on their, you know, their commercials, you know, they'll try to say, what is it? Jesus gets us, right? And they'll try to humanize him and make him sound like, oh yeah, he's on our side, we're on his side, right? And they'll try to start their Jesus movements, right? But most of the time, it's not true. And listen, you know what? Ahimaaz was, he was just a messenger to a king in exile. But he did his job, and that's what a Christian is supposed to do. Now, if you will, just turn over or look over in verse 35. It says this. Chapter 15, verse 35. It says, and I'm actually going to give a little background here. You have Ahithophel and the conspiracy. Verse 31, and one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And things just keep getting worse. And everything is just going downhill really fast for David. And so look what it says in verse 35. Verse 34, "But if thou return to the city and say unto Absalom, I will be thy servant." He's talking to Hushai the Archite. He says, "I will be thy servant, O king, as I have been thy father's servant hitherto. So will I now be also thy servant. Then mayest thou for me defeat the counsel of Ahithophel." And so David, Hushai says, "Well, David, I want to go with you." And David just says, "Listen, you need to go back to the kingdom. And listen, you submit yourself to my son." And he says, "I need you to defeat the counsel of Ahithophel," because the Bible says that Ahithophel's counsel was as one, I'm going to mess up the wording, but it says it was as if he was speaking through the oracles of God. So it was as if he was talking directly to God. That was how wise Ahithophel was. And so David said, "Well, I need you to go and I need you to do this because I need you to defeat the counsel of Ahithophel." And verse 35, "And hast thou not here with thee Zadok and Abiathar the priests? Therefore it shall be that what things soever thou shalt bear out of the king's house, thou shalt tell it to Zadok and Abiathar the priests. Behold, they have there with them their two sons, Ahimaaz, Zadok's son, and Jonathan, Abiathar's son. And by them ye shall send unto me everything that ye can hear." You know, there was some things, there was Ahimaaz's work was, it was expected. It was expected, and you know what a Christian is expected to do? Work. It was just expected of him. I mean, we really don't have much introduction to Ahimaaz. It was just, oh yeah, he's one of the servants. And so that's what Ahimaaz was. And so with all of that being said, so all of the midst of this, if you'll chapter 18. So David's going through all of this. His son is revolted. His best friend has also joined the conspiracy. And this is what happens, verse 27. "And the watchman said, Methinketh the running of the foremost is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok." And David says this, "And the king said, He is a good man, and he cometh with good tidings." But he says, he's a good man. And there's some qualifications for a good man in the Bible, and so I just want to look at that. It says, he is a good man. Well, why was he a good man? Well, I mean, we'll look at his life here a little bit, but just real quick, there's a few qualifications in the Bible, and of course, you guys know the verse, but it says, the steps of a good man, what? Are ordered by the Lord, right? So what are some qualifications of good man? Well, dependable. Right? A good man has to be dependable. If you're not dependable, right? Nobody can depend on you. You're not a good man. I'm not saying you're wicked, but people are going to depend on you. I mean, you look at your going out on your workforce, and what if your boss can't depend on you, right? It's pretty simple. But he's dependable. The Bible says the steps of a good man are what? Ordered by the Lord. What does he do? How is he dependable? Well, he'll take orders. He'll take orders. He'll be able to execute his orders. And that's the next obvious point is, like Ahimaaz did, what does he do? He delivers the orders. So those steps, they're ordered, and the Lord has these things set up, and this is what the servant is supposed to do. This is what a good man is supposed to do. Something else that's pretty interesting, and you guys are in 2 Samuel. Go to chapter 22, verse 37. Look there real quick. You know, it says his steps, right? And so it's talking about a good man's steps. And look what it says in verse 37. It says, "Thou hast enlarged my steps under me so that my feet did not slip." You know what else is a qualification for a good man? That he is dependent. Not just dependable, but that he's dependent. What does that mean? Well, he's not his own man. He doesn't run his own ship, right? He is dependent. He is depending on somebody else. And listen, just like you as a Christian, you know what you're depending on? You should be depending on God. You shouldn't be running your own life. It shouldn't go that way. And so he is dependent. He's dependent. He's dependent on God. He's dependent on a boss, right? He's dependent on somebody to tell him what to do. This guy can take orders, and clearly that's what Ahimaaz is. He does these things. He's able to do these things. And so you look at Ahimaaz and you'll see readiness, right? You see him ready. He's ready to go and he's eager and things like that. And so I'd like to look at a few details of Ahaziah. Sorry. It's been a long night, okay? But listen, you'll see this, and we're just going to look at a few instances in his life that will show us maybe some detail in him personally of why he was a good man. And so if you will, verse 19 of chapter 18, it says this. It says, "Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, let me now run and bear the good tidings, how that the Lord hath avenged him of his enemies. And Joab said unto him, Thou shalt not bear tidings this day, but thou shalt bear tidings another day. But this day thou shalt bear no tidings, because the king's son is dead." Now I still try to figure out whether Joab is actually looking after David. I kind of think that Joab is looking more after himself, because he was told not to kill the king's son, and he did. And so I think that Joab is kind of trying to protect himself there. And in verse 21, "Then said Joab to Cushai, Go and tell the king what thou hast seen. And Cushai bowed himself unto Joab and ran." Now, I don't know why Joab did that. But look at verse 22. "Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, yet again to Joab, But howsoever, let me, I pray thee, also run after Cushai. And Joab said, Wherefore wilt thou run, my son, seeing that thou hast no tidings? And Ahimaaz again, But howsoever, he said, let me run. And he said unto him, Run." Right? Okay, fine, go. Get out of my hair. And you know what? I just like to say one of the reasons why I think that... I keep forgetting this guy's name. Sorry, why Ahimaaz was a good man is, one thing that he was insistent in his service. He was insistent in his service. Joab tries to stop him. Joab says, "No, it's you don't need to do this. Well, I'll have somebody else go." And Ahimaaz is like, "Yeah, but this is my job. This is what is expected of me. This is what I'm supposed to do." And listen, you know what? There's going to be a lot of lost people. And you know what they're going to try to do? They're going to try to prevent your service. There's going to be a lot of Christians that try to prevent your work. They're going to try to hold you back. Joab, of all people, right? David's general. And what happens? He tries to hold him back. How many times does family try to slow you down? How many times do they try to stop your service? And you know what? It's kind of interesting, because your service, you know, you don't have to be a jerk, right? I mean, you don't have to like make these bold, loud statements to make everybody know where you stand, right? I mean, there'll be times for that, right? But you don't have to do that. You know, your service, you know what your service is? It's like this. It's drawing a line in the sand. It's saying, this is where I stand. And you know what Ahimaaz, you know what, he was insistent on his work. And I don't know, from the looks of it, it seems like Joab is kind of irritated with him. And you know, you're going to irritate a lot of Christians with your service. You're going to convict a lot of Christians with your service. And listen, the opposition is almost guaranteed. I don't know if Ahimaaz really thought that he was going to get any opposition from Joab. But sure enough, there it shows up. Listen, they're always going to try to oppose your work. If you will, go to Nehemiah chapter 4. Go to Nehemiah chapter 4. And you have Israel, that is a remnant of Israel coming back from captivity. And they're going to build Jerusalem back up. And Ezra goes in and he repairs the temple. And then you have Nehemiah that goes in and he tries to repair the city. And he tries to repair the walls. And look what it says in verse 1. Now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come and let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. What did they try to do? Oh, they just tried to halt the work. They tried to prevent the work. And what does he say? And he says, and I send messengers unto him, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave and come down to you? And you know what? What's going to happen? The lost will try to prevent your work, but you know, a lot of time it's going to be a Christian. A Christian's going to try to stop you. He's going to try to get you to halt your work. And you know what? Listen, the world is going to hate your resoluteness. They're going to hate your determination to serve Jesus Christ. They're going to hurt. They're going to hate your insistence on service. They're going to hate that. Look what it says in verse 7, and thou hast also appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem, saying, there is a king in Judah, and now shall it be reported to the king according to these words. Come now, therefore, and let us take counsel together. And you know what they're going to do? They'll lie about you. They won't like the fact that you're building walls back up. They don't like those walls being there, right? They don't like that. They'll despise your separation. And you know what? I hate to say it, but you know what? Some of your family, they may hate your separation. And it's not the fact that you're a jerk or anything like that to them and you're just trying to witness. You're just trying to live for the Lord. You're just trying to have a service to the King. But they'll despise it. They'll hate it. Chapter 4, if you'll just flip back there, verse 2, And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Man, mockery, right? And for some people, you know what? That mockery will become so intense. But listen, you need to be insistent on your work. You must insist on your work. You know what Barnabas told his fellow Christians? He says that with purpose of heart, they would cleave to the Lord. Listen, you need to be insistent upon your work. You know what? You look at Jesus Christ. You know what the Bible says? It says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves together against the Lord and against his anointed. Right? Why? What are they? They were against his work. They were against the work of Jesus Christ. You know what it says? All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lips, saying, he trusted in the Lord. Let him deliver him. What were they doing? They were mocking the work. And listen, the gates of hell were opened up, and as Jesus Christ was on the cross, all the demons and the devils of the world came out, and they started laughing and mocking him. But you know what Jesus Christ was? He was insistent on his work. He didn't leave. He was insistent on his work. You know what the Bible says? He set his face like a flint. He set his face like a flint. You know what Jesus Christ, what the Lord told Jeremiah, I think it was Jeremiah, he says, I'm going to make your head harder than theirs. Why? So that, because all you're going to do is this all day long. And they're just going to butt your heads. But be encouraged, I'm going to make your head harder than theirs. Thanks, Lord. And so what does the Bible say? It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Why? For the joy that was set before him, what did he do? Endured the cross. Why? Because he was insistent upon his work. He was insistent on his work. And so listen, to be a good man, something that you'll need to do to be a good woman, you know what you're going to need to do? You're going to need to be insistent on your work. You're going to need to be insistent on your work. Look what it says back in our text, chapter 18, 2 Samuel 18. 2 Samuel 18, look what it says in verse 27. And the watchman said, methinketh the running of the foremost is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok. And the king said, he is a good man and cometh with good tidings. You know why? It's kind of interesting, but one of the reasons why Ahimaaz was a good man was because he was recognized by the reputation of his previous service. This was something that he did. I don't know why, but this guy was known for his running. He was known for his service to the king. He had a past reputation, right? He had set himself up. And listen, again, during the time, one of the hardest times of David's life, you know, who shows up? You know whose service shows up? Ahimaaz. And he pulled through for David. And as Ahithophel and Absalom were conspiring together, listen, they were getting together and Absalom rose up to go in and invade Jerusalem. And David packed up. Listen, the rebellion, the Bible says that the conspiracy was strong. So this was a serious thing. This was bad, and you know what he does? He has to run, not because of a rebellion in his kingdom, but it was a rebellion in his household. His own house was set against him. And then you have Ahithophel and all that, but then what does he do? He decides that he's going to abdicate the throne, and he runs. He says, I've got to protect my family. We've got to get out of here. And so during this, we see Ahimaaz's service for the first time. David says, listen, Ahimaaz and Jonathan, they'll be here, so you just tell them whatever they need to know and they'll come tell me. And you know what? He was recognized by his reputation of previous service. You know, reputation is a good thing. You know, before Operation Overlord was taking place, the Allies decided that they needed to set up a false landing. And so they set up this whole thing and they started bringing in balloons, essentially blow-ups of tanks and all that. They had these big, huge speakers, and they would play the sound of tanks and things like that, so that, because the enemy was watching them, and they were trying to figure out what was going on. And so that made the Axis think, of course, that okay, they're over here, they're probably going to land here. And you know who they said was going to command that force? Patton. You know why the Allies had Patton? Because his reputation was so strong. He went into Africa and he defeated Erwin Rommel, the Desert Fox. He went in there, he destroyed that. And listen, they were afraid, the German army was afraid of Patton. So you know what they did? They used Patton's reputation. Now, of course, they didn't land there, but they used his reputation. You know, Stonewall Jackson, when he would come into a battle, the other armies would become afraid. Why? Because he had such a great reputation for being such a strategical general. This guy could, poof, just disappear and just appear somewhere else. And listen, now, you can't live off your reputation, right? You need to build a reputation, right? Bob Jones Sr. said this. He said, everyone can get saved in a minute, but it takes a lifetime to build a Christian character that'll stand the blows of time and fortune. So listen, you can't live off of your reputation, but you need to build one. And that's what Ahimaaz did. He built up a reputation where the king could trust him. You know, there was one time where there was a valley campaign in the Shenandoah Valley where Stonel really became, if you want to say, famous and really built up a reputation. And so after that valley campaign, they had a 7-day campaign. And as Stonewall was exiting that valley, he was running on very, very little sleep. He was probably sick. And you know what? That 7-day campaign, it went awful. Man, the Union came in and they whipped up on the Confederacy and all that. You know what that is? You can't live off of your reputation. They tried to use Stonewall's reputation and it didn't go very well. So you can't live off of that. But you need to build a reputation. Listen, Ahimaaz, you know what his service was? His service was forged in time of conspiracy. That's when he became known. That's when we know him. Maybe there was previous, you know, times that the Bible just doesn't record, and that's fine, but that's when we see it. His service to David was established in a rebellion. That was when it was established. And listen, there is no better time for you to establish a reputation than now. You say, yeah, but I haven't been saved long. I can't depend on. Yeah, okay, start now. Start building one now. Start working towards that now, where you can be trusted. His allegiance and loyalty were cemented during the conspiracy. You know, in 1945, there was the communists, and they gathered together and they called it the Congress of the Cults. And what this was, it was all organized by the communists, but what they wanted to do is they wanted all the religious leaders to essentially preach their support for communism and an atheistic government. And you know what happened? Richard Wurmbrand looks over at his wife, and you know what she said to him? She said, I don't need a coward for a husband. You know what he had to do? You know what he had to do? He had to cement what his loyalty to Jesus Christ in conspiracy. And that man was, of course, locked up for a long time. He was one of the things that they did, they would tie his hands to a stick and put it behind his feet and tip him up, and they would hang him off and they would just beat his feet. You know what happened? That man never walked the same again. But you know what it was? You know what was known? That he had an allegiance to Jesus Christ. And he said that the prisoner said, you need to stop preaching, but we wanted to preach. He said, so we preached, they were happy beating us, so we were happy and they were happy. That's what he said. What is that? That's an allegiance that is what? Formed, that's cemented during a conspiracy. You know what? There's a great conspiracy. Today, there's a great conspiracy, what, against Jesus Christ, against his words. And if you don't realize that, maybe you just didn't know that, and, you know, for a little while, ignorance is okay, but you need to wake up, because the world hates that Bible. The world hates Jesus Christ. And look what it says. Look what Jesus Christ, he tries to warn his disciples in John 15. Look what he says in John 15. John 15, you guys know the passage, verse 18, it says, if the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world, verse 19, the world would love his own, because ye are not of this world, but I have chosen you out of the world. Therefore, the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep. They will keep yours. Sorry, I messed that up. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had had a cloak for sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. And you know what? Listen, your service to Jesus Christ at times will point out sin. Right? Somebody that stands up and preaches, that's going to happen, right? And look what it says, verse 23, he that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. but now they have, but now they both see, they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. You know what it is? It's a conspiracy against Jesus Christ. So I wonder, are you going to stand in service for Jesus Christ? Are you going to build a reputation? Are you going to build a Christian character that will stand the time, the blows of time and fortune? Are you going to have that? And you know what? It's very interesting because, you know, you see Absalom, and Absalom is, he's so bold. And you know what the word is? The world is very bold against Jesus Christ. They don't have any problem telling you what they think about Jesus Christ. And if you think that's not true, just go downtown. Just go down the street. Hear what they have to say. You know what Jaime has? One reason why I think he was a good man was because he was recognized by the reputation of his previous service. When they saw him running down, they said, I think that's Jaime. Are you known by your work? What kind of work are you doing? What are you known by? So he was recognized by his previous service. You know, there's something else that is real good in 2 Samuel 18 is wrapping up here. 2 Samuel chapter 18. Look at what it says in verse 28. And Ahimaaz called and said unto the king, all is well. And he fell down to the earth upon his face before the king and said, blessed be the Lord thy God, which hath delivered up the men that lifted up their hand against my lord the king. You know, another reason why Ahimaaz was a good man was because he was sensitive in his service. Now, I know you can make fun of that, right? You know, we make fun of sensitivity, right? All that. But you know what? Ahimaaz, he was conscious of his message. You know what he was conscious of? The fact that he was going to sit there and tell David, your son is dead. And of course, I'm sure when that happened, all of the past flooded back to David's memory of what? Four sheep for a sheep. Four sheep for a sheep. I mean, how would that not come into his mind? But you know, Ahimaaz, you know what he tried to do? He tried to break the news as gently as he could before Cushai came in and said, oh yeah, David, what? The enemies of my lord the king and all that rise up against thee to do thee hurt be as that young man. What? Dead? The man died in a disgrace. He was thrown in a pit and rocks and stones were thrown on him. Right? With three darts in his chest. And what does Ahimaaz do? He says, good news, king, you got the throne back. But he says, what about Absalom? Is the boy safe? And what does he say? Look at what he says in verse 29. And the king said, is the young man Absalom safe? And Ahimaaz answered, when Joab sent the king's servant and me thy servant, I saw a great tumult, but I knew not what it was. King, I wasn't there. I didn't see what happened. I just know that you have your throne back. And he was sensitive in that. And you know, it's interesting because what does Paul do? Paul, as he's writing and he's getting near the end of his life, what does he say? He says, oh, that reminds me. Send John Mark. I think he'll be profitable. What is that? He was sensitive in his service. Why? Because at one point he necessarily wasn't. I'm not saying that Paul was wrong when he said, just let John Mark go. But what, he was sensitive to that. You know, it's very interesting to me because you look at Peter, right? And you know what Jesus Christ does? He confronts him in a very kind of a sensitive manner. And he says, hey, Peter, do you love me? Right? He didn't scream at him. He didn't pin him down. He just said across from a fire, he says, so, do you love me, Pete? I just want to make sure. Right? Three times. He says, do you? What was it? There was a sensitivity there. What does Barnabas do? Barnabas goes and he grabs Paul when nobody else would gravitate towards him. And listen, Barnabas goes and what does he do? He helps Paul. And he helps Paul form a great ministry. But what does he do it out of? He does it out of some sensitivity. You know, there were cases where some corpsmen were captured during World War II by the Germans, and they actually went into their hospitals and they assisted the Germans in repairing wounds. They were sensitive in their service, even when they had no reason to be. That was the enemy, and you know what they still did? They dealt with sensitivity. And sometimes you'll have to do that. But you know, you look at the Lord, you know, the author and the finisher of our faith, right? He's our example, and what does he do? He goes gently into a room one night as a middle-aged woman's husband is dying of cancer. And in her Bible reading, you know what he does? He tells her, "I'll be thy husband." And you know what he does? He gently goes into that room and he just kind of taps Robert Campbell and he says, "Let's go." Gentle. The guy didn't die in agony and screams. The Lord just gently took him away. But what did he do? He dealt with Mrs. Campbell. He says, "I'll be your husband. I'll take care of you now." Man, what a thing. You know what he does? Not too long ago, he walked into a room and he said, "Hey, John." No response. "John Krause." "Oh, yeah, Lord." He says, "Let's go. You know, your mind in this body, it's starting to slip. What do you say we get out of here? You're going to hear sirens, okay? When you leave this, you know, those sirens are going to go off and, you know, they're going to have another escapee, right? But let's get out of here. Let's go home." It's gentle. And so what does Ahimaaz do? He goes up to David and he says, "Got good news, King. Your kingdom is restored." "Yeah, but what about Absalom?" "Well, I think there's another messenger, but I just kind of wanted to, you know, break the news easily if I could." And that's not easy, right? It's not easy for these people to be widowed. But what does the Lord do? He does it in a gentle manner. So listen, those are just some things in the life of Ahimaaz. The Bible says in verse 21, "And the watchman said, me thinketh the running of the foremost is like Zadok." Excuse me, "it was like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok. And the king said, he is a good man." I wonder today if that's what the Lord would say about you. I wonder if the Lord would say, he's a good man. That is something that you have to determine. That's something that I have to determine. But I wonder today if maybe now is the time for you to start to try to build that reputation and build that service for Jesus Christ so that, you know what, down the road, people will look at you and they'll say, "Oh yeah, that's so-and-so. And I know his work. I've been with him before. Man, I had a great time with him." What? Being known in your service. So are you a good man? Are you a good woman? I hope so. But you need to form that. You need to form that reputation for yourself through service. Let's pray.